Once again, a very good morning to each and every one of you gathered here and also those who are joining us online. If you are new to the church, we want to welcome you. It's always a joy to worship God together as a church family. I think as Keith has mentioned, I think it's a time of the year that we tend to look back and just thank God for His goodness. At the same time, we look into having goals for our life. Right, the goals of the year has passed and we try to set some new goals. And today we want to spend some time looking at Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 64. In the midst of all the things that's happening, I think God wants us to journey in our life that our focus will always be on the Lord Jesus Christ, because we do not know what is going to happen in this year, particularly in our life, right? Particularly in the things that we are thinking of. But whatever it is, I think God wants us to be reminded of certain things which is important for us. Let's look to God in prayer before we look at Scripture. Father, we thank you once again for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we have access to your word. We pray, God, as we listen to your word, we will allow your Spirit to speak to us. Continue to help us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was reading a story about a missionary, a very passionate man of God in China. And he had a lot of talents and abilities. And so he was doing an outstanding work, ministry work in China. People were just embracing Christianity because of the way he was working with the people. He was gifted with a lot of talents and capabilities. To his surprise, one of the American companies were just eyeing him. They saw this man, a missionary, he's here, doing a powerful work. He was able to impact the lives of many. And so they tried speaking to him by saying, why don't you come and just join our company? We'll give you an attractive job, right? We will give you a very attractive salary. Or you can even name what you want and we are willing to pay. The missionary, looked at his life and he said, no, I am not willing to go for that. He said, God has sent me to China to be a missionary and that's my call. He thought this is the end of the matter. But then the time went by and the company came back to him just knocking at his door again and again. And they said, why don't you take this offer? We'll give you a better offer, much more attractive, right? Probably, you're not paid well in your mission work. We will give you a better deal, a good salary, a wonderful accommodation and all that. He declined again. They tried with better financial package. He declined again. Finally, he said these words. And I was fascinated with the words this man said. It's not your salary that's too little. It's the job that's too small. It's not the salary that's too little. Yes, you are giving me a handsome salary, attractive benefits, but the job, it's too small. Now, when I was looking at this story, I was just reminded there are many things that we are going to face this year. There will be many trials or even temptations. There were certain things that will deviate us from loving God, from serving Him, right? The pulls of this world. And there may be so many attractions that will drive us away as we set goals in this year. And many times we will start well, but do we end well? That's important. Many a times we tell ourselves, yes, this year, this is the way I want to go. That's wonderful. But along the way, what happens? There is a lot of distractions. And so Jesus, in this particular passage, is on his way to the cross. He was on his way to the cross. Do you realize Jesus is always teaching his people, his disciples, and he wants them to know some important things in the ongoing ministry. And so he's talking to them And saying, you know, these are the things that you will continue to face in your life. And Jesus was going to the cross. He's going to fulfill the plan that God has for him. And so Christ, in this particular passage, is reminding the believers that it's not a light matter of following Christ. In other words, following Christ should be a priority, because there will be situations or circumstances in your life that will deviate your faith, or even your goals that you're setting for the year, that will drive us away. Because we want to be good at the end of the year. We want to achieve certain things. That's wonderful. But there are some things, you know, that Jesus wanted these disciples to know. So he's reminding them that following Christ is not just an everyday affair, but it's a sense of urgency. It's important. It's vital for our continual growth. In this particular passage, we see three men. Jesus is talking to the three persons. And when I was looking at these people Jesus was talking to, it's very interesting. Sometimes we tend to travel those roads in our life. I believe, you know, when you're going through these roads in your life too, you know, continue to remember what Jesus has for us. The first person I think Jesus is speaking to, I hope my slides are okay. Yeah, you will look at this, Luke chapter 6, verse 57. You know, as they were walking along the road, a man said to Jesus, "I'll follow you wherever you go." He said, "Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go." It is very interesting. Matthew writes this passage too in his writing in Matthew chapter 9, in verse chapter 8, verse 19. But Matthew says that this man was not an ordinary man. He was the teacher of the law. You know, when I looked at this, it is the word of this man. He said, "Lord Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go." Can you imagine? What a wonderful commitment. I think it's wonderful to see people come and say, "Lord, I will follow you wherever. Tell me, Lord, wherever. I'm just ready to go. I'm there for you." And I was just excited to see the commitment of this man. You know, more than that, you know, he was not an ordinary man. No, look at it. He's a teacher of the law. In other words, he was a scribe. He belonged to another particular group of people. They were like the Pharisees. They were teachers of the law. In other words, he was saying, you know, "I'm willing to leave that particular group and to be your follower, to be your disciple. Wherever you go, Lord, I am going to go. I'm going to say no to the group I belong. It's a prestigious group, but I'm going to say no." From a human point of view, you see a lot of humility here. Right? He says, "Lord, I'll just follow you. I want to be a learner. Lord, people will oppose me." For a moment, I was thinking, if you know, someone would come and tell us like that, you know, what would we do? Probably if you're leaders of the church, you will say, "I'm excited. We want such people in the ministry team. These are the people we were just hoping for." But when I looked at the response of Jesus, one of the things I realized, the Lord knows the hearts of us. What did Jesus say? Look at the word very carefully. Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes, dens, and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Foxes have holes. I was wondering why Jesus was saying this. Can you imagine? Jesus would have said, "You know, come. Peter, sign him up. John, enroll him." Right? He's part of our group. We're excited. But Jesus says, you know, "But the Son of Man has no place to go." You know, this man, if you realize, was not really invited by Christ. He on his own initiated. He came to Jesus and said, "Lord, I want to go with you wherever." So Jesus is saying, "If you want to follow me, wonderful. If you want to be my learner, wonderful. If you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, wonderful. But then, think twice before you make a commitment to me." He says, "The Son of Man has no place to lay his head." In other words, Jesus is not saying about just sleeping, my friend. Jesus had homes to sleep. But what is he saying? He's talking about rejection. He's talking about you will be humiliated. There's a lot of sacrifice involved in following me. You need to deny yourself. There will be rejection. People will reject you. When Jesus was ministering, you know, a lot of people rejected from the time he was born, right? Even as a baby, he was rejected by the authorities of those days. Throughout his ministry, there was a lot of rejection. So Jesus is asking this man, you want to follow me? But this, remember, it's going to cost a lot. It's a sacrifice. You need to say no. People will be against you. There will be challenges. You need to desire. You need to deny your fleshly desires. I believe I'm speaking to Christians here today. I believe all of us have one day said, Lord, I want to give myself to you. But today I think we need to ask ourselves, and we are reminded to ask ourselves, are we willing to hold fast to our confession? You have said, I have said, Lord, I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You have said, Lord, I want to be baptized. And we got baptism. We became members of the church body. But are we willing to hold fast to our confession when we said, Jesus is my Lord? Are we willing to hold fast to our confession? Are we willing to say, I'm ready to face anything for Jesus? It might be pain, it might be suffering, it will be difficulties in my life. I have to say no to my desires, but I'm willing to give. And that's what Jesus is saying. Are you willing to hold to your confession? It's not just saying, Lord, I want you to be my Savior. But are you willing to go through the life that Jesus went, my friend? We will be humiliated. We will be said no. We are willing to sacrifice certain things that God wants you to sacrifice. Because if you have said, Jesus is my Lord, then you are saying, I'm willing to hold to my confession. So the first thing that we learn is the thing we need to be holding on to our confession. Looks like my thing is not really responding. First thing we learn, I think we need to be holding on to our confession. And I think Paul reminds us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, which is the next slide. Let's have the next slide. It says, let us hold on, fearing to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Before I go to the second point, I was just reminded of a story, Julius Caesar. I think many of you have read about his life. A person who really wanted to conquer so many places. When he landed on the shores of Britain, right, with his army, he took a very bold step. He wanted to make sure that the military that was with him will have every success and there will be no turning back. So he ordered his men, he said, you know, march with me to the cliff of Dover. And soldiers obeyed his command and they marched almost to the cliff of of Dover. And he said, look down. When they saw down, they were astonished. They were really astonished to see, because the ship they came was burnt. There were flames, my friend. It was just burning. Caesar deliberately made sure they were not going back. It's always going forward. Because if the ship is still there, their hearts will be there, right? Wanting to go back when the army's strength is much more greater than them. He burnt everything that was possible for them to go back home. You know, the history says they advanced and they conquered. Yes, my friend, are we willing to say, hey, Lord, I'm on the move. I'm always forward because I've made this confession. I want to be sincere. And when this man asked, Jesus said, are you willing? Are you willing to come along with me? You will face a lot of things. Are you willing? Will you hold fast to your faith? Let's visit the next man Jesus is meeting, right? The next man, so in verse 59 you read, he said to another, interesting, you know, the first man approached Jesus. Whereas the second man, it's a different, right? He said, in other words, Jesus said to this man, he saw him, and Jesus said to this man. Matthew writes by saying, it was another disciple. In other words, just not an ordinary man. He was a disciple. He knew the teachings of Jesus. He's been a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has seen rejections, right? He has seen hostility. He has seen so many things happening. He has seen the miracles of Jesus Christ. He's been a witness of so many things that Jesus have done. But Jesus looked at this man. I believe the Lord knows the heart of people, and he said, you know, follow me. For a moment I was asking myself, you know, this man is following Jesus, but why is Jesus asking him to follow him? Which we will see later, right? He says, follow me. He's following, but Jesus says, follow me. But then he says to Jesus, he says, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. He says, Lord, in other words, he's saying, I'll follow you, but let me go and bury my father. You know, when I looked at it, you know, I was telling myself, that's not a wrong request, right? It's not a wrong request to go back home, right, and to bury his father, to do whatever responsibilities that he needs to do. That's not wrong. But what did Jesus say? Jesus, you know, could have said, okay, yes, you know, I'll give you a couple of days, and then we will break camp on the third day and we will leave to Jerusalem. But what was the reply of Jesus? Right? Jesus said, the next slide, said, you know, let the dead bury his own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. You know, when I read this, I was saying, it is really a hard saying. Why? You know, very interesting. Look at the man, the way he said. He said, Lord, I want to go and bury my father. And Jesus knew, right? And he answered in such a way. Because in those days, because this man's dad was still alive. In those days, in the culture in those days, you know, when someone died, they immediately will bury the person. In other words, this man's father is still alive. Look at the life of Lazarus, right? He was buried immediately. In Acts, Ananias and Sapphira, right, if you read about them, they were also buried the same day. So the people in those days, they knew what Jesus was saying. And even the man knew his father is still alive. And this, you know, one of the things, why? Because this man was not only looking forward for his father's death, but what was happening? He was looking forward for his father's inheritance. Because once the father is gone, his inheritance will be there. In the Greek language, it's very interesting. Jesus is using a very spiritualized language here. Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Jesus in no way will say, you know, you need to deny the rights of your family, because families are important. But what is Jesus trying to say? He's saying, right, let the spiritually dead bury their own physical dead. But else, those who are spiritually alive has a different concern altogether. If they are spiritually dead, if they're dead spiritually, you know, let them bury their own self. But you who are spiritual alive, you have a different call. You have a different mission altogether. And Jesus says, you need to proclaim the kingdom of God. Jesus was never denying the rights of this man. But this man was actually, you know, just wanting more time. Right? He wanted some kind of inheritance. You know, when I looked at this particular thing, I was saying, you know, Jesus was saying in a different way. Next slide, if you look at the next slide, it says, are you willing to make a greater commitment? In other words, this man was a disciple of Jesus Christ. He was following Jesus, but when it came to some kind of heritage or inheritance, wealth, certain obstacles in his life that might look a bit much more attractive, this man, he says, Lord, I want to do something. I want to go back home, bury my father, who's still alive, right? And then I'll come back and follow you. There are sometimes there will be things in our life, my friend, as we continue to journey with us, that will try to take us away. And I think God wants us to be careful, right? And not only that, when I looked at this particular passage, Jesus is calling for a greater commitment. I believe, you know, when as Christians, when we read God's word, there are times that we realize, you know, the Lord wants us to do certain things. When we are in our small group, certain testimonies or certain word that is shared convicts us. It motivates us for action. And so God is saying, yes, what are we doing? Are we willing to go to the next level to say, Lord, I want to be much more committed to you? You hear people say about prayer in probably in your small group, and then you tell yourself, you know, Lord, I want to extend my time in prayer. I want to give more time to prayer. And so that's what Jesus is saying. Are you willing to make a greater commitment? Yes, you are a disciple of mine. You have followed me all these years. You have seen all these years things that I've done. Are you willing to make a greater commitment this year for me? Because there are things that will distract you. So God calls us to a greater commitment. The last one is almost like similar thing. But let's look at the last man. The last man is an interesting person too, right? He says, I'll follow you, Lord. But let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Very interesting way of approaching Jesus. He says, Lord, I want to go back and say goodbye to my family. It'll take a few minutes. You know, I'll go back and say. So when I looked at it, sometimes I think, you know, sometimes there are moments if you realize when God speaks to us, we'll say, Lord, give me some time to think about it. Probably this man was saying in the same language, but in a culture in those days, he was saying, Lord, let me think about it. Let me see, Lord, whether, you know, this is the thing that I need to do. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said, no one, right, puts a hand on the plow and, right, and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus is not condemning family commitments here. But he's challenging our priorities. He's saying, Lord, I'll just go back, say goodbye. But Jesus is speaking about priorities. What do we value much? Maybe when we look at this particular passage, you know, sometimes we will be taken aback. We will say, you know, it looks like Jesus is very insensitive. But I think the people in those days understood the language Jesus was speaking. Because those farmers who went to the field, right, when they went to the field, when they plowed the land, they will never look back. Because when they look back, what happens? Even if they look at the sides, my friend, right, it is going to be a disaster to the animals that are going to be front. And they understood pretty well what Jesus was saying. In other words, you know, we need to be focused. And that's what Jesus is saying. Where is your focus? And do you trust me? This man is saying, you know, I'll go back. In other words, I'll go back. He's finding his time, finding for some time. I'll go back. When I looked at this, you know, sometimes when he goes back, there will be distractions too. Probably someone will speak to him. Or maybe he might be reminded of his past achievements. Be happy with his past achievements, right? And looking at the comfort life that he was living. But Jesus says, if you are in, you need to be in, my friend. And so where is your focus? Because if you lose focus, what happens? It destroys your land. And it's impossible to plow in a straight line. and even the, you know, the ox that is in front of you will wheel off to a different place altogether. So do we keep our focus? Where's our focus? But this man is saying, you know, Lord, I want to go back for a while and come back. Today, my friend, I think there will be so many things that will come across. Right? Sometimes we take joy of our past achievements. We say, yeah, I've been a Christian, I've done this, I've done that. You know, we're so happy, we're so satisfied with our past. But our past is not going to bring us forward. But Jesus says, stay focused and continue. If not, what happens? Right? It is not going to be helpful for the animals at the same time to the ground that you want to plow to. So keep focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Spurgeon says in another beautiful language, you know, which I think he says, you know, we must keep use our eyes with resolution, because they will not go upward to the Lord of themselves. They will always incline to look downward or inward. That's the way our lenses are. But he says, look upward, look heavenward. I want to finish with a story. I don't think it's a real story, but you know, but it has the meaning of the sermon which I preached today. It's about a man, right? And it was so unfortunate on that particular time, you know, he had nothing to feed his family. And so he looked upset for a while. He said, I need to feed my family. But then he looked at his cupboard. He saw an old rifle. It will break down soon. A very old rifle with 3 bullets in it. So he said, okay, let me take this old rifle, make use of this old rifle and the 3 bullets that are there, and I'll go out and kill an animal and bring home, so that at least we will have food on the table. So he went down the road. He saw a rabbit. Wow, it was a big size rabbit. So he aimed at it. Do you think he got it? No. Unfortunately, he did not, right? He missed the rabbit. The rabbit ran fast. 2 bullets more. He went further. He saw a wild turkey seated on a tree. Looked nice. Looks like Thanksgiving dinner. Right? He aimed. He looked at a squirrel, and then he shot at the squirrel. He missed it. And then he saw a large turkey. Remember, there's one more. And after this, no more bullets for him. A wild turkey. He looked at it. He aimed. And then, as he was aiming, there was a voice in heaven that said, you know, pray first. Pray first. Aim high. And stay focused before you shoot. When he was about to shoot, he saw a deer passing by. What do you do? Is deer better or a turkey better? A deer is better, much more bigger size, more meat for the family. And so he brought the gun down because he wanted the deer. But the voice had been telling him, pray, look up, right? And then shoot. And then when he was about to shoot the deer, he saw a snake between his legs. What do? You bring your rifle down, old rifle. He needs to really hold it, if not, it will break it. Then the voice kept on, said, pray, aim high, and stay focused. If you were that man, what would you do? Would you shoot the turkey? Would you shoot the deer? Or would you shoot the snake, which is in between your legs? At the same time, you're hearing the voice. Pray, aim high, and shoot. By the way, it's a story. This man probably was a good Christian. He listened to the voice that was coming to him. He shot the turkey. When he shot the turkey, it was interesting. The story goes like this, right? The bullet bounced back. It hit the deer, and the deer was killed.